Amen. In Christ alone. Hey, we have been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I love the book of 1 Corinthians because Paul is writing to the early church. 2,000 years ago, this book was written, and it's interesting to me that the same issues that they were having in the church 2,000 years ago are some of the same types of issues that people have in churches today. And the reason is because even though 2,000 years has changed, people just really haven't changed that much. We're all human. We all have the same types of problems. And what we see that was a major problem in the church of Corinth is that each and every person was saved. They had the Holy Spirit inside of them. They had gifts, but they weren't all using their gifts. And so Paul reminded the church that one day they will give an account for how they use their spiritual gifts. One day, every Christian will stand before Christ to determine how they lived their life. And what we are reminded of in our passage this morning is that how we live today will impact eternity. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 5 through 15. And in this passage, we're going to see that we need to live like it matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Paul states, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building, according to the grace which was given to me. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is built, burned up, he will suffer loss, for he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." May God bless the reading of his word. Once you notice this passage, it starts off, and Paul, he is describing the role of the pastor. He is describing himself and comparing himself with Apollos. And see, one of the problems in the early church is they were having people who, some people were identifying themselves with Paul, and they were saying, "We are of Paul." And then other people were saying, "Well, you know what? I really like this new preacher we have. I really like Apollos. I like him better." And so Paul, in order to try to bring unity in the church, he reminded the church that we're both workers. We are both fellow laborers. We have the same job. We are serving the same master. And he used the analogy of that of a field. He says, "I'm the one who planted. I'm the one who started this church. Then Apollos came and he started watering it. But ultimately, God is the one who is causing the growth." But then after he talked about workers, then the analogy changes and he begins to describe builders. He states that each and every person is building a spiritual house. Now, the building that he's talking about is the life. It is our work. It is our good works. You know, one of the main problems a lot of Christians have is they believe that it doesn't matter how they live. They say, "Well, you know what? I'm saved. I'm going to get a ticket to heaven. And so it doesn't matter how I live on this earth." Well, Paul wrote this text to really deal with that misconception, to remind every believer that it does matter how you live, because you will absolutely stand before God and he will examine your works. And so we're going to learn four things about this spiritual building that each and every one of us are building. First, we learn about the foundation of this building. Then we learn about the materials of the building. Then we learn about the testing of this building. And then last, we're going to be looking at the reward for this building. So I want you to notice in verse 10, he states, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it." Now here Paul, he describes himself as a wise master builder. Now that term builder in the Greek language is where we get the term architect from. And so here is Paul, he's saying, look, I am like a wise architect, and I am laying the foundation of Christianity. He stated that he wanted to build a foundation. Now in a later passage in Romans chapter 15, verse 20, Paul said this, "I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation." So Paul stated, you know, we all have a role. We all have a responsibility in God's house. And as a pastor, one of our main responsibilities is to lay the foundation, to put in the foundation. And Paul stated, that was my job. I put in the foundation. And now each person, each church member is now building on the foundation that the preacher has already laid. Notice the end of verse 10. "But each man must be careful how he builds on it." We need to be careful how we build. We need to be careful how we live our life. I want to give you four things. Number one, let's look at the foundation of our spiritual house. What is this foundation that Paul is speaking of in this passage? Well, the foundation that Jesus is speaking, that Paul is speaking of, is none other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what Paul had stated earlier. He said, "I preach no other gospel, simply Christ alone. He is crucified." Notice what the Bible states in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus made this statement. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, some people, when they heard that passage, Jesus was talking to Peter, some people have misinterpreted that passage and think that Jesus was talking about Peter. Because Peter, his name itself means rock. And some people have thought that Jesus was saying, "I'm going to build my church on Peter." But that's not what Jesus was speaking of. All through Scripture, Jesus is described as the chief cornerstone. Jesus is described as the firm foundation. If you look at verse 11, he tells us what that foundation is. It says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, a lot of people, they build their lives and they have a foundation on a lot of different things. Some people, they build their foundation in their work. That's all they focus on. That is their work. That is their life. That is their foundation. For other people, it's their hobbies. They just can't wait to get off work so they can consume their life in sports and all their hobbies. But there's going to come a day when each and every person will stand before God as judge. And there's only one foundation that will hold up, and that is the foundation in Jesus Christ. Now, whenever I did a revival a few weeks ago, the pastor took me around the community, and he took me to one house that had recently burnt to the ground. The only thing that was left was the foundation. That was it. And in your life, if you have not built your life, if you don't have a foundation in Jesus Christ, this passage states that our life will be tested by fire. And the only thing that will make it through that fire is a foundation in Jesus Christ. And if you have not been saved, if you do not have a foundation in Jesus Christ, you will be told, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So notice first he describes the starting place is we must have a foundation in Jesus Christ. But then after he describes the foundation, then he describes the materials that we then build on that foundation. Notice how he describes them in verses 12 through 13. He said, "Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident." And so now the building material is talking about our good works. The building material is talking about how we live our life. You know, basically, Jesus is stating that we're all building. Each and every one of us, once you have a foundation in Jesus Christ, then you are building up your life. But notice there are two different types of material that are described. One is costly, and one is really cheap. One is permanent, and the other one is temporary. And if you go into chapter 3 and you go back to chapter 2, you'll see there's also two types of builders. There are those who are spiritual, and there are those who are carnal. And so you see the two different contrasting types of life that a believer can have. You can build your life only focused on the here and now. You're saved, absolutely, you're saved. You have a foundation in Jesus Christ, but you're living like you're lost. And you're building your house on things that are temporary. It uses wood, straw, hay, things that are combustible, things that will not make it through that fire, will not make it into eternity. But then there's another type of believer. A believer who, yes, he has one eye on the world, but he is also focused on eternity. He's focused on his eternal home. And so he begins to build his house using silver and gold and precious stones, things that will make it through the fire, things that will make it into eternity. And so Paul encourages us, what type of life are we living? Are we living a life that is just for the moment, that will then all be burned away? Or are we living a life that matters, a life that will make a difference in eternity? What you notice after he describes the materials of this spiritual house, then he describes the testing of our spiritual house. All of our houses that we are building will be tested. Notice what he says at the end of verse 13. He says, "For the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." Notice he's describing, he uses that term, the day. The day is the day of judgment. I believe the reason he says it is the day, because it is really the only day that matters. He reminds us that there will be a day of judgment. You know, the Bible describes a lot about different judgments in the Bible. For instance, there is the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is the judgment that every lost person must stand before God. And after they are condemned, they are sent to an eternal hell. The Bible also describes the judgment of separating the sheep from the goats. That is the judgment in which God separates those who are saved versus those who are lost. But then there's a third type of judgment. And it is the judgment that is described in this passage. It is sometimes referred to as the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is different from all of the other judgments. The other judgment focused simply on a person's deeds. And the other judgment simply focuses on what type of punishment will they receive. Well, because we are saved, and we have a foundation in Jesus Christ, we will not be judged based on punishment. But there will be a judgment based on rewards. And so this is a judgment based on the type of rewards we will receive. And only those good deeds we did that are tested first will then make it into the rewards of heaven. I think there will be several types of tests to determine our works. I think there will be the mode of test. I think about the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were, were men in Scripture who did a lot of good things. I mean, they gave to the poor. They helped out. From a human perspective, they did all the right things. But their motive was they wanted to receive the praise of the people around them. They wanted people, when they walked into the temple, to say, "Wow, I want to be like that guy. That guy really has it going on. That guy, he's a good Christian." And they loved it. They loved receiving the praise of men. Jesus went as far to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he said this, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men." Now listen to this next passage. "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." He said these men, they simply want a pat on the back. And that's the only reward that they're going to receive. They will not receive a reward in heaven. I believe there's the test of motivation. What is our motivation behind what we're doing? I think there will be another type of test to determine if our works make it into a reward. And that is the money test. Jesus told a parable about a king who came and he gave three different men different amounts of money. The king left. Different men, they spent the money in different ways. The king returned. And he asked the first man, "Well, how did you spend your money?" And he said, "Well, I've taken your money and now I have 10 times the amount that you first gave me." The king said, "Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Next man came and Jesus said, "Well, how did you do?" He said, "Well, I made 5 times that which you gave me." And Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But then the third man came in. Jesus said, "Well, how did you spend your money?" And he said, "Well, I took your money and I hid it in a handkerchief." And Jesus said, "You wicked slave." We will be judged based on how we spend what God has given us. Have we used all of the money that God has given us? You realize that we are simply stewards of what God has given us. It is not God's, it is not your money, it's God's money. And we will be judged based on how we spend it. Did we spend it building up our houses, building up our goods, or did we spend it on other people? I think there's a third type of test. I call this the muscle test. And that is a test to determine the type of abilities and talents that you have. You know, each and every one of you, you have different talents. You have different abilities. The Holy Spirit comes inside you and you have a spiritual gift. Are you using it? Are you using that spiritual gift to build up the kingdom? Or are you simply burying your spiritual gift? The Bible says in Luke 12:48, "For everyone who has been given much, much will be required." So imagine this. You are standing before Christ at judgment. All of your deeds, all of them, are before you. They are tested by fire. And only those deeds that were pure, only the deeds that were based on you wanting to serve the Lord will remain. The rest of your life, the rest of your deeds, will all go up in smoke. I think about the life of Samson. You know, growing up as a boy, I loved reading about the strongest man in the Bible. All the great and mighty deeds that he did. He had great, great potential. But instead of doing what he should have done, instead of glorifying God, he glorified himself. He ended up losing his strength. He ended up losing his eyes. He ended up being held captive by the enemies. At the very end of the book, it states that he's basically a clown parading around in front of the enemies of God. And he goes and he asks one of the men, "Station me between two pillars." And he goes and he stands between two pillars. And he prays, he says, "God, give me my strength one last time." And he pushes with all of his might. And the Bible states that the pillars came crashing down. He was killed along with all the Pharisees and a half. Did he go to heaven? Absolutely. But he built his life on straw and wood, and no reward remained. I wonder how many people are like that. They spend their life only consumed with themselves, and there is no reward in heaven. I want you to see a fourth. Let's look at the reward for our spiritual health. Verse 14 says, if any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. And the judgment seat of Christ could also be described as the reward seat of Christ. All of us will receive a reward based on the deeds that we did. You know, in biblical times, they had the judgment seat, which is where a person was judged. But it was also a seat that was used to describe people who would come in and would receive a reward for winning a race. It was also a place where people would come and receive a crown after they did something great. You know, the Bible talks about crowns that we will receive in heaven. The Bible actually mentions five different types of crowns that we can receive. One is an incorruptible crown, which is given to those who are spiritual. One is a crown of rejoicing, given to the faithful soul winners. Another is a crown of life, given to those who suffer in the great tribulation. Another is a crown of righteousness, which is given to those who love the Lord's appearing. Another is an unfading crown given to faithful ministers. You know, all of us, all of those who will receive that crown, even when they get to heaven, even when they receive that crown, they recognize that even the crown themselves are an act of God's great mercy, an act of God's great love. That is why the Bible tells us that the great elders, that they, when they see the Lamb of God come and stand on the throne, the Bible states that they take off their crowns. They lay it at his feet, and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Only those deeds we do in this life that are truly good will help us to receive that reward. Verse 15 says, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through the fire. We'll stand before God. Our deeds will be burned up. Some people wonder, well, how are they burned up? What does it mean that they're tested by fire? Well, the Bible states in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, as it describes the Lord, it states that he has eyes like fire. And I believe that as we stand before the Lord and his piercing gaze, we'll see right through all of our false motives. Everything we could do to fool men will not fool God. It's as though all that we worked for will burn up. You know, some of you who are listening to this message, you're honestly thinking, I don't care. Some of you are thinking, you know, I don't care about rewards. I don't care about crowns. I'm just going to be happy I'm in heaven. I just want to be in heaven. I don't care about the rest of it. It doesn't matter how I live. I'm just happy that I'm in heaven. I want you to notice that this passage states, you will suffer loss. Dr. Rogers, he explained it like this. Imagine you have a man who doesn't believe in banks. Imagine a man has all of the money he's ever made, all of his cash, all of his bonds, all of his savings, and he has them in his house. He has them in a drawer. Everything that he has is in that house. One night as he's laying in bed, his house catches on fire. And he thinks to himself, I do not have time to go and get all this gold out of the drawer. I don't have time to save the silver. I don't have time to save the money. I don't even have time to save my wife and my kids. All of a sudden, a hole burns through the wall, and he jumps out. And as he jumps out, the house falls in on top. He hears his children cry. He hears his wife scream, but he makes it. He has soot all over him, and he begins to dust himself off. The neighbor walks over and says, "Man, I see your house is all burned up." What is he going to say on that day? Is he going to say, "Yeah, it's all burned up, but I made it. Look at me. I was saved by fire." No, because he suffered loss. He did not bring his children with him. He brought no reward with him. It will be the same way on that day. All that we have built our life on will burn up. Do you think an angel is going to come over to us and we're going to high-five him and say, "Well, at least look at me. I made it." On that day, it will be a day of rejoicing because we made it in heaven. But for many, it will be a day of regret because we lived our life in the flesh instead of thinking about the Spirit and building a spiritual house. I want to encourage you today that it is never too late to start working on your spiritual house. All things will pass, but only what's done for Christ will last. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have given us the opportunity to build our spiritual house. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those today, Lord, who have a mindset that all that matters is here and now. Lord, help us to be reminded that one day we will be judged. One day all men will be judged. I pray, Lord, that will give us motivation to live for you, to witness to the people around us, Lord, to build up a spiritual house that will make it through that fire. I thank you, Lord, that you are our chief cornerstone. I thank you, Lord, for the spiritual gifts that you have given us. May we use them to build you up and not build us up. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, some of you have recognized that you have been building your life using wood and hay, and you recognize that you will not have anything in heaven. It will all be consumed. I want you to make a commitment today that you're going to start building based on eternity, that you're going to start building with gold and silver so that you can hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant."
Let's stand together and sing, "I Surrender All."
Seated. We now enter into a brief business session. Someone would make a motion that we take the discussion off the table and begin to discuss the finances. All right, can we get that seconded? All right, all those in favor say aye. All right, we're going to be voting on the 2017 budget that was received last Sunday, was discussed on Wednesday. The only one change in the budget that you have is there were a few typographical mistakes in the 2016 budget, but it won't impact our 2017 budget or any of the funds that you saw on the 2017 budget. So at this point, if someone could make a motion that we accept the 2017 budget with those changes made. We have a first and get a second. All those in favor of accepting the 2016 budget, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. All right. Okay, and if you would like a budget when you leave here, you can grab that. All right, well, I'm going to close this out in a word of prayer. And again, I encourage everyone to come back tonight and join us for our annual session. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you today. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us, for all that you do for this church. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed our finances. I pray that you'll continue to do so. Help us to be good stewards of all that you've given us. Help us to be reminded, Lord, that we will give an account for how we use our gifts, how we use our time, how we use our abilities. I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified throughout all of our actions. Help us to be reminded throughout this week, Lord, there's a judgment day coming. And it does matter how we live today. Help our good deeds to make it through the fire. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we did. Let's stand together.
Aye.
Let's stand together, join hands, and we're going to sing the chorus. I surrender.